Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you've had a great day and a great week. Well, here is my question for the day to kick off our conversation. What does bravery look like to you? What does courage look like to you? I wondered myself, are these the same thing, kind of interchangeable? I kind of think they are. I don't know if there's a distinction between them. But maybe for you, courage is sticking with a marriage that feels old and stale. Or maybe courage and bravery for you is leaving a role that you love because God's calling you out, but your attachment is, well, it props me up. It props up my identity. And yet you hear God calling you onward. Maybe courage for you is to stand in faith while you wait for your breakthrough. Well, that's what we're talking about today, bravery, courage. And my first hour guest is Lee Wolf-Bloom, and she actually is going to be with me second hour for Talk to Me Thursday. We're going to carry the conversation over to hour two because that's going to be your chance, second hour, to tell me what you've done in your life that's felt courageous and brave to you. And I know you're probably going to be shy about that, so Lee and I will go first. Actually, Lee will go first. I'll go second. I'm just kidding. But we'll talk first. Just, I mean, I already have a couple of thoughts in my mind of times when I faced down my fears and I took a step forward, and I'm so glad that I did. And I want to know that from you as well. We'll play a couple of songs and we'll just have great conversation. But first hour, we're talking about Lee's book, Brave is the New Beautiful, Finding the Courage to Be Real, the Real You. There's some great stories in this book, and we've got several copies to get into your hands. So you know the drill. At any point during the show, you can email me to get in on the drawing, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Put brave in the subject line and don't forget your mailing address. A couple of quick announcements before we get Lee on. And we have her in studio, which is especially fun. But if you've not checked out our Faith Radio app, it is amazing and it's free. So you just have to hop over to the Apple App Store or Google Play, search Faith Radio Network. You'll find it, download it. And that way, if there's ever a day, a time, and a place where maybe the signal's not coming in clear for you on your radio, hop onto that app because we've got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of friends listening and from around the world because of that amazing app. I'd love for you to take advantage of it as well. Also, we're so grateful to God and grateful to you with your prayerful and financial support because we are a listener-supported ministry. We are growing by leaps and bounds. And we know the Bible says that every increase comes from God. Every good thing comes from Him. We just give Him the credit. But we want to just shout out to you. If you're part of that new harvest, if you're new to the Faith Radio family, maybe you're tuning in on one of our new signals, 94.1 FM in Hartford, Connecticut. We're so honored to be part of your family and glad to have you part of ours. 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, 90.7 FM and 97.5 FM in the Twin Cities, or maybe you're streaming online. Wherever you're listening from, if you're brand new to Faith Radio family, we have a tradition on Live the Promise. Just email me. Let me know you're a new listener, where you're listening from. Remember your mailing address, and we'll draw a couple of names. We do that every week. And just grab a couple of names, grab some books off of our Faith Radio shelf as our way of saying thank you for listening. Welcome to the family. So my email is Susie@myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lee Wolf-Bloom is an energetic, passionate speaker who loves to help women find hope and healing from perfectionism and addictions. She works as a mental health practitioner in the field of eating disorders and chemical dependency. She lives in Minnesota with her husband and three boys, and so glad to have her back on the show with us today. Lee, welcome in studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're just darling. I just want people to know. She's just darling. So, you know this. We love to start by talking scripture. I wonder if you have a verse in your heart today.
I do. And it's Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Love that. Talk about why that means so much to you.
It means so much to me because I think so often we're scared mm-hmm. and afraid. And it says, have I not commanded you to be brave? What does that mean to be brave and that God's commanding us? We hear all these commandments, you know, as a Christian, but do people say that to you? Like, God commands you to be brave and courageous.
You don't hear that very often.
You don't.
You're right.
And so that's
a charge, isn't it?
It is a charge. Yeah. And what does that look like? And what I'd like to bring up is that I think bravery looks a lot different than the world tells us it is. I don't think bravery is jumping out of an airplane, and even though that's brave, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about a different kind of a bravery, a mm-hmm. different kind of beauty, that different than what the world sees as bravery and beauty.
And you're really saying that from your own personal experience. So this isn't something like, hey, I think I'll write a snappy book about bravery. This is yes. something that you've really lived through. I mean, life and death lived through. And for those yes. who've missed our past conversations, if you don't mind, I'd love for our listeners to have some context of your story, of where you're coming from.
Yes. In fact, I had no intention of writing this book.
Isn't that always
isn't
the
that
way
how, to, Yes. Yeah. I work with people, as you mentioned, who struggle with eating disorders. And I myself struggled in my early 20s with an eating disorder. And as a young girl, I remember hearing messages very early on, such as, tables aren't made for five and roller coasters aren't made for five. And this was a message my family gave me. And I took that message to mean, because I was number three in the family, so I was number five.
Wow.
So early on, I got this message that I wasn't good enough. Early on, I interpreted this message given to me by my family and the world. And so I responded to that by trying harder and being better. My faith, I became a Christian in high school, and my faith only added to that in terms of being perfect. Mm. If I could just be good enough for everyone else, I could be the person that they wanted me to be. In college, when I went off to college, I started dieting at a time in my life when I was going through a deep depression, and it led to a life-threatening eating disorder. I found myself in the intensive care unit of a hospital, and I remember just being on my knees, talking to the Lord, and really having this profound moment where I felt like God was saying to me, and it wasn't an audible thing, it was just this knowing. And it felt like he was saying, are you going to live the life I have for you, or are you going to continue to live the life that others are telling you you should live? Mm. And I really needed to step out and start living the life that God had for me. And that meant accepting three things: my brains, my body, and my baggage. And when we can accept those three things and allow ourselves to be the people God created us to be, we can then step into the life he has for us. So after that, fast forward, in 2013, I ended up writing my memoir called Table in the Darkness about my struggle with an eating disorder. When that book came out, I was terrified, and I was terrified of the women in my community, mostly. Some of the men, but I was mostly terrified of the women, because what were they going to think of me when I wrote this book about my struggle with an eating disorder, that I was a Christian and that I struggled with a suicide attempt? How were they going to look at me? How were they going to judge me? And it made me really question, what's going on with our friends, our girlfriends, what's going on with our mom friends? Why do we feel that way? And what happened when the book came out was absolutely the most opposite of what I expected. Wow. Hmm. Women came out of the woodwork. Women who came up to me, and some secretly, and said, me too. Me too. And I remembered the C.S. Lewis quote that I had read one time that says, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, you too? I thought I was the only one. And I really thought about that, and I was like, something's going on. Something's going on in our community. Something's going on in our world with women comparing and competing and this perfectionism. And, you know, I was guilty of it. Why can't we do something different? And so I started investigating, and I started asking women to tell me their story. And what I realized, which is so true, is that everyone has a story we don't know about. And we just need to ask the questions. We just need to stop looking at our phones and look each other eyeball to eyeball and say, what's going on in your life? And what I found was everyone has a story.
Indeed. I love that. And I'm thinking about if we could do that for each other, you know, as women, but as men too, you mm-hmm. know, what's it like to be you?
Yeah.
We had John Turnipseed on the show, and with Dr. Thomas Blee, Dr. Blee's been on before. John Turnipseed, they've partnered together for ministry, but he was one of the key gang leaders in the Twin Cities with a large criminal family. And some of the things he'd done were unbelievable. I think he had more than 50 counts of felonies against him. But when you weave his story back to molestation as a child and watching his father beat his mother, and you see this grown, clean-cut man who's a man of God now first recount his crime and then recount his pain, you see, as you just said, everybody has a story of pain. Everybody's carrying a broken heart.
Right.
And you know, the social media thing, I use social media, and I appreciate that we can use it as a blessing. But on the underbelly side of it is this, you know, this picture that people are so much better off than they
right.
are. But man, if we could, as you say, drop that stuff and look at each other and say, what's it like to be you?
Right.
I mean, that is the first step of bravery, isn't it?
I do believe that is the first step. And I think, you know, there's a great quote that says that we compare our behind the scenes to everyone's highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what social media is. And I'm just as guilty of it. I find myself doing it all the time and then reminding myself. But I don't think it's just social media. I started seeing it when I was going to my kids' school events. You know,
right.
these women done up looking perfect. And then me looking at them and thinking, wow, I wish I could be them. If they only knew my story, or some of them did because they read my book, you know, and feeling great shame.
Or how their kids perform. If
yes.
only my kids could perform.
Exactly. You know? If only my kids were like that, or if only my kids did this, or if only my kids got on this hockey team. And so I really just started doing some research and started investigating. And that's how this book was born. And what I found was just amazing. I thought I would have to put something out, you know, like, please share your story on social media. I thought I would have to go searching for it. And I had more stories than I could keep in the book.
Wow.
More stories of women, and the women that they were everywhere. They were down my street. They're in my grocery store. They're in my church. These women with these stories, and I'm sitting next to them and I didn't know until I started asking the question. And when I started hearing their stories, all I could think about was that is beauty. Beyond anything I've ever seen. An example is this woman in the book. Her name's Katie. And in Minnesota, people know about her because her daughter died from this pool accident.
Mm.
It was a very tragic accident, and they passed a law with pool safety. I see Katie everywhere. And once I started really kind of interviewing her and learning more about her story, the more I could see just what a beautiful woman she was. Like, how does she do it? How does she get up out of bed every day? How does she still raise her three grown children, her children, daughters, now that she's lost one? What's that like for her? What's it like to be her? And when I see her around the community, all I can think is that is a brave and beautiful woman.
Wow. Talking to Lee Wolf Bloom, and her book is titled Brave is the New Beautiful, Finding the Courage to Be the Real You. I was happy to endorse this book. We've got three copies. Would love to get a copy into your hands. And there's just countless stories like is it Katie you just said? Sorry, that just drew a blank there. Like Katie's story in the book, that'll inspire you, because brave does look different on all of us. Email if you'd like in on the drawing. And if you've got a question for Lee today, include that as well. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute. I just cannot get enough of that song. Man, I love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Got Lee Wolf Bloom in studio with us. Her beautiful book is Brave is the New Beautiful, Finding the Courage to Be the Real You. We've got a few copies to get into your hands. So email if you need some inspiration to really embrace the you that God has made you to be, to see the gap widen between how man affects you and God affects you. Man, I mean people and their opinions. You want to break free from the bondage of others' opinions so you can have the courage to be the you that God intended from the start. Email me to get in the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I would love to know, just from your opinion, Lee, why we tend to so often, men and women alike, shrink back from the person that God intended us to be. Why do we feel the need to hide so much?
That's a really good question. I think we often think that we're supposed to be different than we are. Myself included, like I really wrote this book to myself. I didn't know it until I was done with it, I'm like, oh, wow, I need everything that I said in here. I know speaking from my own experience, is that I've often, most of my life, felt like I shouldn't be the person that I am. Mm.
That's a great point, because I think we all feel like that if we're honest at some point, right?
Like if you knew me, if you knew what a mess I was, if you knew the thoughts I had, if you knew all of that, how would you like me? And so then we work so hard on covering that up, you know, with whatever we do. Everyone's got a different thing. And I think, yeah, men and women alike. And what I feel like God is saying is totally opposite. Mm. He's saying, I adore you. I adore you just the way you are. And if you would just step out and be the person I made you to be, then you can glorify me. And I have found the more I can be comfortable with myself. And when I said that in the beginning about our bodies as well, I think we do that with our bodies. We get not comfortable with the bodies God gave us, and we try and fix them and make them different. Instead of, hey, this is the body I've been given. How can I use it to celebrate God? So for myself too, the more I can be me, like knowing what I'm good at and what I'm not, then I can celebrate another person, because then I'm not comparing myself, because I'm like, this is my lane and that's theirs. And so I no longer feel the need to compare. It's when we start feeling insecure and unsure of ourselves that we then start looking at somebody else and saying, I want what they have. And I found great freedom in being able to do that. An example of that would be, I'm not very good at math. And so for me to just radically accept, this is not something I'm good at, then somebody who is, I can look at him and be like, that is awesome. God gave you such a great gift.
Yeah.
My gift's different.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's so okay. You know, it seems like you can live without math easier than people can live without food. And I'm not a good cook, so that's a real problem.
Right.
I can make a really good salad. And my kids, my boys are grown, and my husband, they're all over 6 feet tall, giant men. So I'm looking at them going, okay, somehow, some way, we got you fed and got you on your way.
Right.
But it's easy. I mean, because there's some people who are just gourmet cooks, and they just love the whole production, you know,
right.
And I love having people over, but I'm just not good at it. But I'm okay with that, because there's other things that are like breathing to me, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And when you start finding freedom in that, it feels so much better. What I started finding, especially with my first book, is I started getting into this almost obsession of numbers with my first book. And I had to take a step back and ask myself this question. Am I measuring my worth based now off of book sales, just like I was measuring my worth off of the scale
Interesting.
Of numbers? Mm. And, you know, it slips in different ways, but I really had to take a step back and ask myself, you know, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to be, you know, this person, this famous person? No, I'm doing this because I believe that God has given me a message and I'm going to stay in my lane. And then those who, you know, the big names of the world, I'm going to cheer them on and celebrate them.
That's so good. Well, as I said, you told a lot of stories in this book. Any stand out to you that you want to share today?
Well, like I mentioned, the Katie story is one that really stood out to me for sure, mostly because I see her often and I just have such admiration for her faith and how she's proceeded with her life.
And Katie is someone whose little one was in a pool and there wasn't a proper drain on, and that made the news. And bless her heart, she passed.
She passed away, yes.
Yeah, Mom.
But watching her kind of recover from that and still love the Lord and still living the life that she has been really amazing. I would say another woman, there were a couple stories in there about people who set clear boundaries in their life. Mm. One that hits home for me is a woman that I know who had a very verbally abusive mother and the mother was continuing to be verbally abusive to her, and she's a grown woman. And she really had to come to terms with setting boundaries. And for her, it was cutting off that relationship because it was abusive. And I think we often in our Christian culture, love everyone, you know, all this, but we always forget sometimes about boundaries and what's healthy. And I'm not promoting, you know, everyone cuts off their relationship. But what I am saying is, for her, that was her brave. Her bravery was being able to stand up to something that was very abusive and say no more.
Well, Dr. Greg Smalley, who comes on every other week, says we teach people how to treat us based on what we tolerate.
Yes.
And I think that's fantastic. We've got about 3 minutes to our hard break at the bottom, and so we may need to pick this one up on the other side. But I was really, really moved by the story. I think it's Amy. She was a gymnast. And there were allegations on the news of her coach abusing girls, and she froze because she tried to tell a student who is another gymnast in line, and she gave her the look like she was crazy, so that shut her down. But as much as you can tell that story, we may pick it up on the other side, because there are some really important things to note in this story.
Yes, Amy was a young girl who was sexually molested by her gymnastics coach along with a numerous amount of other girls. She was terrified to tell because of there were people in the community that she was living in that basically were saying the girls were lying.
Because they liked the coach.
Because they loved the coach. Mm-hmm. And Amy went down a really bad road in those next 2 years. She was only, at the time, I think 10 when this happened. And then by the time she was 12, you know, couldn't hold the secret in anymore. It was just killing her as a young girl. And she finally did come out and tell her story. There's a lot of other details in it, but that was the piece. And then she had to go on trial at 12 years old and sit in the courtroom and face her accuser. I don't know what else is more brave than that.
That's
a young
right.
girl, teenager.
And she stared him in the eye.
She stared him in the eye, stared him down, and said, "What you did to me was wrong." And now she's a grown woman. She's actually getting married in a few weeks. Mm. And she's a grown woman, and her hope is to be a social worker and help young girls feel safe enough to talk about things that have happened to them, like what has happened to her. And that's just not something you hear on the news.
No.
You know, and
right.
that to me is such incredible courage of this young girl to know what is right and wrong and to be able to stand up to it. And I think a smaller example of that would be just young girls standing up to bullies. That's bravery. Mm-hmm. Like being able to say, no, this is not okay. Being able to use the voice that God gave you and say, this is not okay. And that story broke my heart for what had happened to her. And it's every parent's worst nightmare. But she would even say she's stronger and braver because she was able to use her voice mm-hmm. and be able to say what was true.
What's amazing, too, about that story is that she first denied it and signed a paper denying it because of the cost, and she was so afraid, and she was watching everybody else get persecuted, these other girls. But once she spoke up, she was one of the viable witnesses who had enough evidence, where some were dismissed because there wasn't enough evidence, mm-hmm. but she was one that there was actually enough evidence to convict him.
And, right.
I mean, it shows you how important your voice is,
yes.
you know. And just a side note, what's such a travesty is when women throw that sexual abuse thing out there to manipulate situations when it's not, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It mocks every victim that's a true victim.
Right.
Lord have mercy. Really.
Right.
Wow. Separate idea, though. Talking to Lee Wolfblum today about brave, what it means to be brave. We're going to talk more about courage to make the change, to forgive the offense. What does courage look like? We'll explore that when we return. That's another song I love. That's a great song from Hillsong, Tell the Devil, No, Not Today. We need to know how to do that, right? I always say that our shield is our no. Our shield of faith is our no to the enemy, and our sword is our oh, yes, we will. So, oh, no, you won't, and oh, yes, I will. Think about that, because enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes that we have life and life abundantly. How many things don't get done because of self-preservation, self-protection, because we're in fear? But God calls us to be brave. He calls us to be courageous. My friend Lee Wolfblum is in studio. Her book is Brave is the New Beautiful, Finding the Courage to Be the Real You. Appreciate her message so much. We've got several copies. Would love to get one into your hands if you want to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that mailing address. Thanks so much, Melissa. Listening in from Murrieta, California. And Stacy, thank you so much for your email from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Barb from Savage. Let's see, I've got another one. Carissa from Colorado, Longmont, Colorado. So good to have you listening today. So Lee, you're so raw. I write this way too. I'm very raw. I don't know how else to be. It's like, this is who I am. It's my stuff, right? And so I appreciate you tell the story in the book about a time when a colleague suggested that you go to therapy and you were miffed at her and you did it anyway. And then the therapist had the nerve to tell you that you weren't vulnerable enough. And you're like, hello, I just wrote my guts in my book here. But I want you to talk about what she was getting at and what came out of that exchange.
Yes. When somebody told me I needed to go back to therapy, I was really upset, and because I didn't want to.
As anybody would be, seriously.
I'd been through years of therapy with my eating disorder. I had just written this book. I go and speak very openly about anything. And so I'm sitting in, I finally agreed to go. I'm sitting in her office, and she looks at me and she says, "You're not vulnerable." I was like, "You gotta be kidding me. I say everything. Like, I just wrote this book." And she's like, "No, you're not vulnerable. You're vulnerable only when you can control it." Meaning when I speak on the radio or when I go and speak in public, I know what I'm going to say. But being in a situation where I have to really dig deep and really get to some of the stuff that I was afraid to talk about, that was a vulnerability that I was terrified of. Mm. And she actually fired me after the first couple months.
As a client?
Yes, she did, because she said, "You know what? You're not being honest about what's really going on in your heart."
Was she right?
She was right. Yeah. And I was, whoa, I was mad. But I'm stubborn. And so when somebody pushes me like that, so I came back and I started getting really honest about where I was. I was really burnt out at my job. I was really struggling, trying to do it all, trying to be everything. And at the heart of it actually was, this book was written kind of during this journey as well. And at the heart of it was, I was afraid to be me. I was so afraid to be myself because it had never been accepted.
Never been okay to be yourself.
It had never been okay to be myself. Even though, like I said, I wrote about myself in a book and I speak, but to really accept myself, meaning accepting the life that I lived, accepting that I struggled with an eating disorder. I had spent so much time talking about I'm recovered, I'm in recovery, that I no longer wanted to own my story. And so I really needed to kind of go back and say, yes, this is the family I grew up in and it was hard. And this is the life I lived and it was hard. And really just be okay with that. And it really actually made my faith stronger of really seeing, being able to go back to those hard moments and see that God was there in it. Instead, I had just been so focused on God's here now. I hadn't really taken time to go back and see that God was there then. The thing that's really important to understand, though, too, is with an eating disorder and any sort of addiction, it's something that's used so that you don't have to deal with what's going on. Mm. So here I am 22 years later. I had done therapy, but now in my 40s, I needed to kind of dig a little deeper. I needed to go a little deeper. And I would say that's bravery. Mm-hmm. Being able to say, "I need to go get help," to me is one of the bravest things you can do because it's so humbling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't usually ask for help.
We got to pause here just because I want people to hear what you just said. I think somebody's listening today and you need to hear this. Being able to say, "I need help," is maybe one of the bravest things you can do. Maybe you're you're addicted. Maybe you're secretly drinking. Maybe you're secretly shopping. Maybe you've been depressed a long time, but you keep blaming it on your circumstances. But everybody around you is saying, "No, this has gone on for a long time." That is bravery. Keep going. I'm sorry, but I just felt this. We needed to pause just for a minute.
Well, and that's why I think it's so, why I call bravery so beautiful is I think we believe often that standing up in front of a crowd is brave or being on the radio is brave. But for me, I had my own brave is sitting in a chair with somebody staring at me with a yellow notepad in her lap, asking me to share some of my most awful things. And asking for help. And I'm not one to ask for help. I'm always wanting to be the helper. And for me then to have to take a step back and say, "I need help. I need to talk to somebody. I need to deal with my stuff," felt terrifying. Mm. The thing about bravery, I think that we think is oh, bravery is going to feel good.
Right.
And it doesn't.
No.
Every story in this book.
It brings on a little nausea, I would say.
Yes. Every story in this book, I asked the women, everyone I interviewed, I asked the women, "Do you feel like you're brave?" And every single one of them said no. They said, I feel nauseous. I feel like my knees were shaking. I felt like I wanted to hide in under my covers. And I think that's, you know, that verse of when God commands, be brave and courageous. Well, he doesn't ask us to go do it alone. He's like, I'll be with you. Now mm-hmm. go do it.
And even doing it not afraid. I mean, he yeah. doesn't want all the T's crossed and I's dotted as much right. as we want. He's just saying, go and trust me.
Right. You know? And so I've really, now that the book is out, I've really had to challenge myself. Like, Lee, just because you're scared and your knees are shaking, or just because you have that pit in your stomach, doesn't mean it's wrong. It means that you're scared.
Yeah.
And trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And you can do this. You know, it also makes me think of, you know, Beth Moore talks about our pits and how we get in our pits and we put couches and we hang up curtains and we live there. The scariest and most bravest thing you can do is step out of that pit. Because it's really comfortable when you're, you know,
in you know your way around there.
Yeah, you know your way around. You've put furniture up. You've hung up pictures. And to step out of it and say, no, I'm not going to live in this pit anymore. I want to be all that God has called me to be. That's scary. It's much easier to stay in the pit.
Indeed.
And so I'm trying that in my own life. And I also, the women in this book, you know, that's kind of these women who have stepped out of that pit and said, okay, I'm doing this. I might fall on my face 100 times, but I'm going to do it and trust that God's got something for me.
Maybe for you, bravery is going back to school, right? Maybe bravery is taking on a volunteer opportunity that you know nothing about, but God is putting it on your heart. I think if I remember during the same part of your story, as you were saying, you were feeling burnt out in your job, so you felt like you couldn't do it anymore. Here, you're a full-time mom and you're a full-time employee of a pretty stressful career, really.
Yes.
And if I remember right, I think you told your boss you couldn't do it anymore. At least you realized you couldn't do it anymore. And you stepped out, and then I think you went out for a run. And the song that played in your ears was this one. I want you just to listen for a moment and have Lee speak to this song. Rest in your embrace. I am yours and you are mine. I love that. Talk about that moment, because that was an audacious thing. Again, I think somebody's listening today going, oh, my heart's beating. I think I'm right where you were. You're feeling like this is a big, giant leap. Tell us about that.
Oh, I love that song.
I know. It's so great.
I just want to curl up in a ball and cry.
Yeah.
I do. I worked in mental health. I worked at a hospital for patients with eating disorders. I was basically doing my dream job. I was running a program, helping people every day. I felt like I was doing what God had called me to do, and it was killing me. And basically my therapist was like, you have to take a break. But I'm like, no, like, I'm helping these people.
And you'd worked so hard momentum-wise to get
there. I worked so hard to get there, and it was a point in my life where I felt like I was at kind of my dream spot, but yet I had given out so much. And I also had stepped into a little bit of a line that a lot of us do, where I was feeling as if I was going to solve their problems. And there's one God and I'm not it. And it wasn't a prideful thing. It was just more of, I felt like there was such a need. And I would listen to that song and I felt like God was just saying, you got to stop. This is killing you. I was starting to have really bad migraines. I was starting to not be a really good parent at home. I was going to bed early all the time because my head hurt. And I just wanted to give. And it was killing me. And so I did have to quit that job. I basically went in my boss's office and I'm like, I have to quit. She's like, okay, let's figure it out. And to me, that was kind of my identity too at the same point in time.
And your victory story, you know what I'm saying? It coming full circle.
Coming full circle.
And how then, often God allows that, where we feel like now this has been tied up in a nice bow. And he's like, not so quick.
I know. You know? That's not fair, God. And so, I quit and was really, really depressed at that point because I thought, what am I going to do now? Ironically, I ended up getting a new job, taking a step back. I ended up working in marketing. And the week after I got that job, I got this book contract. And I needed to be out of helping people for a while I wrote this book. And God knew what he was doing. And guess where I am now?
Where?
I'm back at the hospital.
Are you really? So how much time did you take a break for?
It was about 2 years. And I never had any intention of going back. And then by a total God set of circumstances, they had me come back on call. And I realized, you know, sometimes you need to get away from something in order to have a better perspective. I had really poor boundaries. I had lots of things I needed to work on in order to work there again.
And life has its seasons. We always think things are so final. If God calls us out, that's the end of that. So I think your story is so encouraging for somebody listening today because, you know, I always say that if comfort is why you want to stay, then you probably have to go. And if relief is why you want to go, then you probably should stay, right? So we need to pay attention to our motivation. But if it's like a situation where it's like, I feel like maybe some of my identity is tied up in this, but in a good way, I'm helping people, right? And I've worked so hard to get here, but I'm not okay. I mean, paying attention to that not being okay is part of bravery too, isn't it?
Right. And it feels, as a Christian, self-care, all those things, you know, it's not something I'm very good at. And so having to step away and say I have to take care of me felt very selfish. But God was telling me, like, look, you've got to take care of you. I created you. Like, we need this thing to work. And so now being back, I'm in a different role. I'm setting very clear boundaries. I have a totally different perspective because I was away. I have a greater appreciation for the work I'm doing because I took some time away. So I love that about seasons. I think I can't see very far out sometimes. And so I get stuck and like, oh, this is it. My life is over. It's never going to change. But God's always, you know, we put a period where God puts a semicolon and he's like, hold on. The story is not done yet. Like you put all these periods and you think it's over and I got things up my sleeve and he always seems to do that, but I always seem to forget.
Yeah. Well, we all seem to forget. Appreciate that so much. Lee Wolf Bloom is my guest today. Title of her book. Don't you love it? Brave is the New Beautiful, Finding the Courage to Be the Real You. What does brave look like for you right now? What is God asking? Is he saying stay? Is he saying go? Is he saying rise up? Is he saying take a new grip with your tired hands? Mark out a path for your feet, right? He's asking something of you that's going to require some kind of courage. We'll talk more about the enemy's aim to steal, kill, and destroy, God's aim to give us life and life abundantly, and what faith and courage looks like in the midst of it all. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
It's something good.
Another great song. Thanks for tuning in. We're bopping around in studio here. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lee Wolf Bloom. We're so blessed to have her in studio. Title of her book is Brave is the New Beautiful, Finding the Courage to Be the Real You. It's been such a great conversation. And Lee, before the break, we were talking about, you know, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you have life and life abundantly. And the enemy aims low. He fights dirty. And it's just battle is real. Yet God's provision is real, too. And I'm thinking of a person listening today going, I'm terrified out of my mind. I know what he's calling me to. And I think maybe it is a job change or you know, quitting to stay home or whatever it is. But all the unknowns, I don't know how God's going to provide. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how my employer will, you know, be towards me. You wondered about that, right? Mm-hmm. Speak to that person as far as finding bravery and courage in all of the unknowns. But just all they know is this, I can't stay here.
It just makes me think of that song that we played, you know, Spirit Lead Me Where my breath is...
My trust is without borders.
My trust is without borders. And that's really when we pray that prayer, we're asking God to, you know, take us, walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
We get so afraid. And if Peter can walk on water, then why can't God take care of us? So I think bravery is stepping out into that place, trust without borders, and being so afraid. But when we get to that point, I know when I get to that point, the only thing I have then is God, and then God can show up big time.
Mm-hmm.
I think also we, as Christians, we sometimes think that life should be really good. And there's this great quote I was going to read that's in the book. And I think this is important for everyone to know this about life. And it really changed my trajectory in terms of life when I started thinking it like this. This is from Rick Warren. Life is a series of problems. Either you're in one now, you're just coming out of one, or you're getting ready to go into another one. The reason for this is that God is more interested in your character than your comfort. We can be reasonably be happy here on earth, but that's not the goal of life. The goal is to grow in character and Christ-likeness. So if that's the goal, then we need to be stepping out in areas that we're terrified of. And that's bravery, and that's courage. And other people see that, and they will see it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really hard to do.
You know, I was just talking to a friend recently about the place that you were in, where you were in your dream job. You'd worked hard to get there. It really was a victory flag in your story as far as having an eating disorder and almost dying from it, and then coming back around working at a hospital helping other patients with eating disorders. I mean, what's not to love about that story?
Yeah.
But as you said, it was killing you in that place. It would have cost you more to stay
mm-hmm.
than to go. And yet you still had to face your fears of, what does this mean? For what will I do? How provision? All of those things. But you did it, and God came through.
Right.
And he gave you a different job for a season that actually freed you up to write this book we're talking about. And lo and behold, I didn't know this, but 2 years later, you're back at the hospital, but you have a spring in your step. You've got firm boundaries. And what do you know about yourself and about God now that you would not have known if you wouldn't have taken that leap of faith back then?
Oh, so much. I think part of that is also the therapy that I was doing and really becoming the person I'm supposed to be. So I think I was trying so hard to be this professional that was going to make everyone else happy and make everyone proud of me and make my family proud of me. And I think now I'm just trying to be me. I'm walking in there and I'm admitting I don't know things. I'm not stepping into situations I can't handle. I'm not trying to be Wonder Woman. I think we do that way too often as women, as we step in and we try to be Wonder Woman. And what I'm finding is people are much kinder and nicer when you just are you.
Indeed.
when I can say, I don't know this, or I can't do this. And so I'm asking for help. I think there's this idea, we look at each other and people have even said this to me, you know, oh, you've written a book, your life is just all together. And it's like, no, that quote I just read, like, I still have struggles. I still have things I'm very insecure about. I still am walking this journey, but I have this quote on my wall. She was broken and brave all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm broken. I won't be whole until I get to heaven. And none of us will be. So let me be broken and let me be brave at the same time, and let Jesus do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so much more fun.
Well, you being able to walk into these situations where it's not about you, it is about God's grace, and it's about, you know, knowing your place. Even, I think it was Paul who said, you know, let's live up to the faith that we already have, but let's not boast of a faith we don't have. Let's not try to be more than we are.
Yes.
And I think we tend to do that. We reach outside our lane, so to speak, when we really don't know who we are. But I think the most attractive people are those who are comfortable in their own skin, where they don't need to be all things to all people. They just know the boundaries of who they are. And I think that's God's invitation for us. Imagine how we'd enjoy life so much more, you know?
Well, and then, you know, there's a chapter in the book about cheering each other on. And I do think the more we can do that, the more then we can cheer other people
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can act as a body and less as individuals. And we can say, hey, you're doing that, and I'm going to cheer you on. And that's awesome you're doing that. And let's do that together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll
mm-hmm.
do this, you do that. And we can then be more of a community and less of a competition when we try and do that.
Another guest we had on, Heather Holloman, she talks about being included in Christ. And so she's a visual imagery girl. She just is a word picture person, which I am as well. But she said one of the things to just kind of solidify that idea of community and how much we need each other, because she was someone who always felt excluded and was probably more introverted, which lends itself to that as well. She says now every time she meets somebody, whether they're Christian or not, she visualizes a tethering her to that person as a bond. Like God wants them to be part of the family. If they're not, I'm going to treat them as beloved members of the family. And she said, it's hard to be jealous of someone you're tethered to. And I just think that's just beautiful. I love that. I mean, to have a word picture like that. Just got a couple minutes left before it's time to pray. But one of your chapters of bravery is all about forgiveness. Say a word if you would.
That's a tough one. That also was something very challenging for me, myself. The story in the chapter is a couple of stories of people who have struggled with forgiveness. One, a girl whose dad came out, the girl was in her 40s, and her dad came out and said that he'd been convicted of molesting young girls. Not every chapter is about molestation because it's the second time we've talked about it. But she really had to take a step back. Her whole life was different than she thought. For myself, and so that's what that chapter is, but for myself, forgiveness really had to be around really forgiveness for who I thought I was supposed to be and me not acting as God intended me to be, and really forgiving myself for the mistakes I had made. I have felt guilty for my suicide attempt for the last 22 years and felt like I had to make up for it. I felt like I had to be somebody really good to make up for that, what I had done to my family and to friends. And God was saying, no, you don't have to do that. You don't, you know, I've paid that price.
Love covers.
Yes.
Multitude. Yeah.
So one thing that, I did was I had all my medical records from when I was hospitalized. And sometimes I'd go back to them and read them, and they were not very nice things written about me. And I would sometimes go back and kind of fill my head with them, because I would just, as kind of a reminder, like that's who I still am. I'm really that bad person. And God was saying, no, no more. You cannot live in that. That's not who you are. That's not who I've called you to be. That's not who I want you to move forward. So I was very scared, and I took all of the papers and I put them in the fire and I burnt every single one of them, because I needed to step into who God was calling me to be. I'm not that person. Yes, I was then, but I'm not that person. And so I really had to do a lot of forgiveness of myself for the mistakes I had made and the people I had hurt, and the people who had hurt me, and start living in my life now as an adult woman instead of that life then.
Well, that's a good word to end on, because maybe that's where you're at today. You need to forgive somebody, and maybe that somebody is you, where you need to do some business with the Lord. And if you could see his kind eyes looking at you and his mercy, that he just emanates from who he is. He loves you. And I'm wondering, Lee, if you'd pray for that person who's realizing, I'm going to get with God and I've got some work to do here. Would you pray?
For that person, Lord Jesus, I pray that they would hear what God says about them is that he adores you. He adores you just as you are right now. He adores me just as I am right now. And he adores you just as you are right now with all your mess, all your brokenness, and all your baggage. And I pray that you would just lay your head in his lap and let him hold you and comfort you and tell you that you are just right just as you are today. Find comfort and peace in God and Jesus. And thank you so much, Lord, for this time and for whoever's listening, that they would find their own brave, that you would help them to find the brave that you have for them. In your son's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Dear Lee, thank you for the time today. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Lee's actually sticking around for hour two because it's Talk to Me Thursday. And the question is, well, I have to figure out a succinct way to ask it. I'll maybe do that during the break in between. But I want you to know about just some memories for you when you were courageous. I don't care what it is, where you felt like that took some courage or that took some bravery. You can call in anonymously as well. In the first few minutes, though, we're going to hear about some bravery that's happening because of Harvey. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. So don't go away. Another great conversation is up ahead next.